Welcome to Equipped Agronomy Podcast. We bridge the gap between seeding equipment and agronomy. This is presented to you by Borgo Industries. My name's Curtis DeGoyer, and I have here with me a Mr. Jeff Strukoff.
Good day, people.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Curtis. How are you doing today?
I'm good.
That's good. Lovely.
Yeah. The sun is shining. It's warm. I shouldn't say that. It might not be warm when this comes out.
I probably shouldn't tell everybody that I have a chiropractor appointment from catching so much fish on a nice warm day. Put my back out.
Yeah. Well, it's going well no matter what. Today, what are we going to talk about, Jeff?
I think we're going to talk about some of the things that we've done with regards to row spacing.
Row spacing is a big one.
Yeah. In both canola and wheat.
Canola and wheat. I think we will probably be able to potentially even dabble into some other crops. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know.
We'll give it a go.
But canola and wheat is some stuff on row spacing where we have some experience. We've done some trials on it. And I mean, obviously the row spacing question comes up quite a bit, I would say, from customers, dealerships, because it has such a impact on cost of the equipment, right? 10-inch spacing
and horsepower requirements.
Horsepower requirements, hydraulic flow even a little bit.
Seedbed utilization.
Trash management.
All sorts of different things come into play.
There is. And there's some of that stuff, especially on the economic side as far as, you know, horsepower requirements and the upfront cost of the equipment that, you know, agronomically doesn't, I would say, play a role in that. But we want to focus on what's, you know, what that crop is going to do, how it's going to perform the best. And I think that's as much as we can do to see if there is benefits, if they offset some of these other hurdles or other characteristics or what's the word I'm looking for? Not characteristics, but yeah, you're shaking your head.
I'm lost, Curtis. I'm sorry. I'm not sure where you're going with that.
The agronomic side versus the equipment side. Okay. So that's why it's on our radar. We get the question quite a bit. So we set up some trials. We've got our two drills behind our leading 7550 cart, both single knife. So we have a 10-inch spaced with banders, and then we have a 12-inch spaced with banders, both 3/4-inch openers. And that's how we do our comparisons. And so you're not going to get a better side-by-side than that.
No, you've isolated all the variables. The only thing that you're testing is row spacing.
Row spacing. And that's what we wanted to do. And so we set that up. And like you mentioned already here, we've done it on cereals, specifically wheat, and then also in canola. You know, those are obviously our two main crops that we always kind of dabble in, right? You know, right off the get-go, I would say that there is more of a perceived benefit. Maybe not even perceived on cereals though. Cereals should respond better to narrow row spacing.
That's the general consensus.
Yeah. You know, I looked up the world wheat record, winter wheat, and they're not talking about 10-inch and 12-inch spacing when it comes down to growing wheat.
Does New Zealand still hold the record?
No, actually they just lost it. It went back to somewhere in England, I think.
Really?
Yeah, it was 200 and, man, what was it? 260, almost 264 bushels.
On what row spacing?
Well, from what I could see, it was either 5 to 6 inch.
Yeah.
I had actually called one of the world record holders there. Oh, this would have been 8 years ago or something like that. And I said, what row spacing are you on? And at that point, he was at 5.5. But yeah, I don't think it differs. Or it's somewhere in that range. It's not 10 to 12, right? So, you know, I think with that in the back of your mind, it kind of sets a bit of a, not an expectation, but you know, we're not going to hit those high levels unless they're not going to hit those high levels at 10 or 12 from their experiences, right? Now, of course, when you talk about something like that, it comes back to these other aspects of row spacing, with that being trash flow. How could we get through? In a lot of those cases, they're pre-working the soil, right? Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, that's really good to keep in mind, right? And we have to be mindful of it. So going back to what we set up on what we were looking at. So back in 2019, we just did that one in wheat. That was our kind of first dive into it there. Our results came back. We had the same plant stand, actually, between 10 and 12, and this is side by side. But the 10-inch spaced actually did come out a little bit higher yield. Plant stand the same, a little bit higher.
Statistically higher.
Statistically higher. And I think, It was 4 bushels, 5 bushels, something like that. But it was significant. And you know, every single rep, it all came the same thing. And, you know, so why is that? Why would we be seeing that little bit of a bump? Is it everything to do with seedbed utilization? Does it have to do with what else? More capture of sunlight?
Quicker row closure.
You know, I think there's some of that stuff where you can make the argument for narrow row spacing is was better, right? Now, let's go to 2020 now. 2020 was a good growing year. We had some pretty good yields on that one. So on wheat, we actually ended up 10 and 12, same yield. Same yield. The difference that kind of popped up in 2020, 12-inch spacing had lower plant stand. Ended up lower. So if you think about it, you're going 20% higher concentration of plants in that seed row.
So would you say that there was more interplant competition then?
That would be a heck of a theory, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's going to be competing with that, with each other, I should say. And that's a another thing that kind of came out of that year. Same yield, 10 and 12. But the wild oats, you could pick up right where the 12-inch spacing, driving 60 miles down the road.
I distinctly remember that, actually.
There was those strips on 12-inch spacing, wild oat heads. You know, later on the season, they poked those ugly heads up over top of the crop. You could just pick them out, right? And that goes, you know, that kind of speaks to the weed competition proponent of this whole row spacing talk, in which it's tough to get a good economic number on that, right? When you, you know, when you talk about 10 versus 12, there's a poof, this much more to buy this drill, right? Poof, it's this much yield, you'll gain this much or won't gain this much. But it's the weed buildup. And now with resistant weeds, group ones, group two resistant wild oats, how do we combat that with another equipment side of that conversation?
A cultural practice.
Is that what the word is? Cultural? Or
I do know that the our provincial weed specialist has done quite a bit of work with reduction of weed-resistant biotypes to group one or group two by having narrower row. And he actually preaches narrower row spacing to manage resistant groups of weeds just because you achieve row closure that much quicker. And like you were just talking about, you could drive by those plots at 60 miles an hour and pick out the ones that were on 12-inch. Just by the level of wild oat competition.
Yeah, it was very, very,
yeah,
stood out. Okay, so now it's wet year, same yield. Okay, so now we go to 2021, much drier year when we're doing those trials. So again, though, the same yields, 10 and 12, same yields showed up. 12-inch spacing, though, again, had lower plant stand in that year. And, you know, a significant amount. I think it dropped from, what was it there, 33 down to under 30s or something like that. So, you know, we had
still up there though,
square foot. Yeah, no, it was still fine. We obviously still had enough plants there to produce, you know, as high a yield as I would say the moisture allowed for that year. So again, that year, did we see any weed competition really firing up? We just didn't see anything firing up that year. Now, that was a 21 was a rough one on cereals.
It was dry.
There is no doubt about that. So speaking of that then, so dry, what about areas? Like I feel like there's more, I would say 10-inch space drills. We'll talk specifically in Saskatchewan at the moment, but like northeast Saskatchewan versus let's say southwest. Now, is there something to be said for which is better in a drier area versus a wetter area? That's a question.
That is a question.
I don't know. Because some of the conversation around that is, well, if you have narrow row spacing, you know, you're getting more tillage, right? You're moving more soil, which has the potential to have more moisture loss. So when you get into dry areas that are typically more dry, moisture being a very, well, moisture is dependent, you know, we're dependent on moisture in every location here in Western Canada, but specifically more so even down there. You know, kind of the argument there is, well, 12-inch spacing will actually outperform 10-inch because you're not disturbing as much soil and then you're going to use more for the plants.
I've actually talked to guys too that they feel that they get more air movement through the canopy so they get less incidence of disease. Whether that's true or not, I don't know.
Well, there's no doubt that would happen.
Suggested anyway.
But what crop specifically was that though?
Those are primarily pulse crops.
Pulse crops.
Chickpeas, lentils. Yeah.
So typically areas like that, you know, they can grow better pulses than, let's say, up north, northeast, where it's a little bit more.
Yeah, technically they should concentrate on pulses and leave the canola to us guys in the north and quit dabbling in the canola down south.
It was a wild year last year. It was totally flip-flop last year, wasn't it there?
Yeah. Like,
as far as, yeah, we were pretty dry up here. So I guess maybe that's more what's going on. 10-inch is more popular up here. Let's say to utilize some more of the moisture versus, you know, down in those areas that are growing more pulses, potentially to have more airflow through. Because we know that there's less weed competition on 12-inch spacing. So obviously the canopy doesn't close as quick. And we're only talking like a little bit of, you know, 10 to 12. It's only 2 inches, you say. But that is like almost like a week difference, it seems, to cover that.
Yeah.
Spacing. So
we actually used that one prototype drill a couple of years ago. I can't remember the millimeters, but it was actually narrower than 10. And just that slight difference, you could noticeably see that as well. Even though it was just such a minute difference, narrower, but you could tell.
It shows up. So, you know, the weed aspect of row spacing is a big one. And I think maybe that one's been, I would say, almost slightly overlooked. Maybe. But it's definitely coming more into the forefront with as resistant weeds come out and on that side of it. Now, on the narrow row spacing, higher seedbed utilization, you know, on that side of it, it should give the wheat crop and the cereals in general a bigger bump or more potential for yield anyway. Going back to that conversation about where the highest, you know, yields are growing, they're not using 10 or 12 inch spacing. So what about now canola?
Let's change gears
because that is a totally different beast. We know that canola can fill out and fill in that space. So we didn't have it in 2019, but in 2020, we said, geez, we got to do this in canola too, right? And a wet year, 2020, we went from that 10 to 12 inch, no difference in yield. There was no difference in anything, plant stands or nothing. It was just canola fills in, it fills in quicker.
It branches. You can change the physiology of the plant.
Yeah. And absolutely. More
branching, more room to branch, the wider the row space.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So then we took it one step further though. We had a 10 inch space drill, we're comparing to 12, but we could actually put that one to 20 inch spacing. So we said, let's really give it on canola. 10 inch to 20 inch spacing now. And that had a lot to do with, you know, a lot of planters out there and stuff are wider. So when we did that, yield, again, exactly the same. Canola just does what canola does, right? Good wet year, had time to branch out. The one thing we did see though for sure was maturity. The time for it to come to maturity was longer. Though the plant stands actually were the same. And I think that speaks to your point of plants just having to
more room to branch, more potential for flowering. And then there was a few management issues we encountered at harvest time too, if you remember correctly. On the 20-inch stuff, it was very difficult. It got to the point, because we were going to straight cut it, it got to the point where we couldn't swath it, and it was really hard to straight cut even because it was just so light and fluffy, and the plants weren't close enough together that it was hard to get it to stay on the table of the combine. Right. Any amount of wind would just blow it off. You had to pick your day, actually.
Well, so we had our trials, our 30 foot by 400 foot trials, you know, that where I'm kind of talking about this yield from, but we also had a 10 versus 20 inch, or actually no, it was just 20 inch out on that one other
on
field.
That one piece,
then we did 60 acres or something.
Yeah.
But and from what I remember from that one, it lodged so bad.
Yeah.
Right. Because it just has nothing to, you know, kind of leans on your neighbor.
Yeah, but when it all went down, I know some of that was variety specific, but still,
there was a difference.
Being that far apart, it didn't have anything to lean on, and when it did go down, it went down. And then it's like, okay, well, what do we do? Well, we got to swath it.
Yeah,
you try and swath it, and you can't swath it.
Okay, right.
Well, we got to straight cut it. Well, you know, any amount of wind, it's blowing off the table. Like, how do you get it to go in the combine? Well,
yeah,
it was interesting.
So, I mean, on the canola side, yeah, there's some of that factors there, but it was yield-wise, nothing that year. So 21, we did it in 21 as well. What did we end up with here? We had a lower plant stand on 12-inch spacing versus 10. So that was a drier year, lower plant stand on 12-inch, and that might have had to do with just
competition
in the row,
yep.
Right? So we thinned it down. So now that year, though, if you remember from our seeding rate trials, anything in a dry year, it's been showing up. Lower plant stands has actually been creating higher yields. And what we saw that year was that the 12-inch spacing outproduced the 10-inch.
This is in canola.
Canola.
Yes.
This is still canola.
Lower plant stands, bigger plants.
Bigger plants, potential bigger root system, tapped into more moisture down below, maybe more efficient.
This is a theory.
Right? But we see it, whether we did it by seeding rate, we lowered the plant stand, whether we did it by nitrogen placement and lowering the plant stand with, you know, burning off some, and now whether we did it with row spacing, lowered the plant stand and still had a higher yield that year. So no matter what way we came to it, the lower plant stand definitely outproduced. So I thought that was an interesting one. So what's the overall message, I guess. What are we thinking?
How would you conclude? That's my question to you, Curtis.
How would I conclude? I still think that in cereals, 10 inch will not lose to 12 inch on the yield side of it, right? And it never is never lost. It doesn't necessarily always win on a yield, But there is, you know, it typically has a better plan stand. We just have less competition there in the row. I think on the weed competition side of stuff, doesn't matter what crop it is, narrower spacing is going to have better competition, right?
So would it be safe to say that 10-inch has more potential to out-yield 12-inch?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely, you know, on
cereals. It's never going to do worse than 12-inch.
Yeah.
But there is a potential that it can do better.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way to – that's the way I kind of set it up.
Yeah. Plus, you get all the benefits of having quicker row closure and all those other things with 10-inch.
Yep. So now on the flip side of that, again, we understand there's equipment costs to that. There's horsepower requirements to that. There's trash flow management to that. You know, one thing we didn't talk about was stepping.
Oh, yeah, right.
Stepping, which is the back row covering the front row, right? And so on narrower spacing, you'll have more potential for that. So there's no doubt there's some of those aspects that have to be considered. But on cereals, I think there is potential. On canola wheat, yield-wise, I mean, canola just branches out. I don't know if there's a big difference between 10 and 12, and maybe even wider than that. There was some lodging issues, though, as we went wider, and then there's weed competition. I mean, that's still a factor.
And longer flowering periods the wider you go.
Yeah, no, that is right. It definitely did get a little bit longer on that one. Pulses, we haven't really done anything with pulses, but to your point of, you know, more flow.
Airflow
going through. Mm-hmm. Again, though, pulses are also their biggest challenge is weed competition.
Yeah.
So, you know, we can... If we can spray for them, that's great. We can spray for fungicides too, right? So which one's going to be the one you want to, I guess, give up? I suppose on the advantage side, you're going to have better weed competition if you go narrower, but you're going to potentially have more fungicide. If you go wider, you'll have less weed competition, but then potential for less fungicide then too, yep. Right? So I think those are some of the things.
Considerations to consider.
Yeah, considerations to consider. I like that.
I patented that.
It's a good one. Okay, well, I think with that, I don't know, is there anything else that you could kind of think of or
no, not off the top of my bald head at the moment.
Well, then I guess we will end it there in the conversation on row spacing. But yeah, any more questions, just, you know, reach out, ask us. Tune into next episode and we'll continue our chat on the agronomics of equipment and we'll get you growing.